Were there a few sprinkles? But I understood last year it just flat out poured. So, oh man, not fun. So, well, it's good to be together. And let's see, ushers, why don't you come? And as they come, we'll prepare to worship the Lord in our giving. And then we're going to hear a special announcement from Brenda. Lord, thank you again for your blessing in our lives. Thank you, Lord, that regardless of circumstances and prices and challenges and bills and all of those things, Lord, you don't even sweat a drop. Lord, you are the great provider. And we thank you for reminding us that you are our source. And thank you for being, again, so faithful. Your blessings, incredible. And you know just when we need what and how much. And Lord, thank you for reminding us of the principle of the harvest, Lord, that even though it may not seem like much, Lord, a seed that is planted, that is sown in the Spirit, we reap a harvest of righteousness, of plenty, of enough. Again, thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to have a bin out in the entry area for collecting both school supplies and hygiene supplies and stuff.
Anybody know if a dentist or somebody even
has? That's a good idea.
I mean, just like, you know, we
can think a lot with that. Yeah, and you know, one of the things that came to mind as you're talking about the need for us to prepare, I remember Kent, I don't know if you were teaching on it or just teaching me, but I just remember the word that it's not, God doesn't ask us to give what we don't have. And you might think that's like, well, duh. I mean, but sometimes we feel that. We feel, and using the example of the boy, the small boy that was in the crowd, and he's the one that had the lunch, the two small fish and the five loaves, but that's that he gave what he had, and look what happened with it. And I think that's what we're, the picture that we, as the body of Christ, maybe there's several hundred hands that are coming together, and compared to the big need, it seems like, you know, just a small thing. But when we give what we have, God's able to multiply, and so even financially, we'll do some of that. So and we're going to do oil changes. Okay, because someone asked me yesterday about that, and I said, well, I thought we had decided not to do that this year because of the liability. And
well, I think it was up to the Nazarene Church, and I
that's,
have
to okay.
back from what they are going to do, because they take the liability on, and if they're not willing to take the liability on.
Okay, so because it is going to be at the Nazarene Church this year.
Is the liability just about removing the oil? Or is it
well, you know, there's and getting it. Or the plug doesn't get tightened, and yeah, so there's just been some concerns, and so I'll mention to this individual that was interested that we'll, you know, stand by. So, and then of course that the day after the Day of Blessing, we're going to plan to have our church in the park again. Just made the reservation last Friday, and we're good to go. And Kent. Go ahead.
Okay, so just remind me, I'm trying to sort of like size somewhat.
But even just moving tables, and they're going to use the tables here, yeah. And just all those kinds of details that just take
so
many hands.
Is there a flare?
Yes, there is.
Okay.
Children, you can be dismissed. Oh, that sun looks nice, doesn't it?
Be blessed to go, right?
Yeah. Yeah, amen. Good. So while you're standing, let's pray. Let's also pray for Chris. And both being sent out, one a little bit different than the other, but nonetheless, we want God to go with both. And so let's pray. Oh, and she's got not 2 months or less than 2 months. She's got 6 months. Yeah. Let's do. Kathy? Is that Greg? Yeah. Okay, let's do. Chris, Greg, Tyson, and Pamela. Lord Jesus, these needs are again, beyond us. What isn't beyond us? But Lord, we call upon you, knowing that you are not only a God that hears, but you answer. And Lord, in fact, you wait for us to call upon you. And Lord, and plus that, we have the promises that say that wherever we go, your presence is with us. And so, Lord, for Tyson when he goes to Thailand, and for Chris, where's Chris headed off to?
Florida.
And for Greg that's in Iraq, and for Pamela that's in Nicaragua. Lord, all these places, there are places that we would have great difficulty getting to, some of us anyhow. But Lord, you know, no issue whatsoever. And so God, your hand upon each of these lives, your provision, your protection, Lord, your sustenance, Lord, to not only prevent them from getting harmed, but Lord, make them fruitful, Lord, that you would develop your purposes in their lives, but through their lives. So, Lord, that they wouldn't just be putting in their time, but Lord, that there would be fruit beyond expectation. Lord, that there would be gifts released, and Lord, that there would be boldness and the recognition of your presence and your hand and your leading. We pray these things in the power of your name, Jesus. Amen? Good stuff. Well, I want to begin this morning. I want to take a few moments and preach the word. But I want to begin by telling the story of a young man who I was thinking about this on graduation weekend, at least for so many, 18 years old, and made an extremely serious mistake. And as a result, was convicted, spent time not just in the county jail, but 2+ years in the state pen. And it wasn't immediately, it actually was more in the middle or early part of his 20s by the time the actual jail time was served. But then released, when he was released, very stringent probation. 5+ years of weekly classes at his expense, plus a polygraph test every 4 months, every 3 months, something like that. I first met Don Howard, for those of you that hadn't caught that, who I was referring to there. I first met him as a basketball referee, met him on the basketball court, and recognized him as just a young kid and just a sports nut like you couldn't believe. The guy just ate, breathed, and slept sports, and then some. And it was a short time later. When I say short time, it may have been a year or two, but relatively early in our relationship, I received a call from him, and that's when he had been arrested and was in jail, and I had the privilege of getting to know him a lot more than just blowing the whistle on a court, but spending some time encouraging him, praying with him. Actually had the privilege of praying with him to receive Jesus as his Savior and Lord. And but it didn't stop there. Because of the consequences of Don's failure was so severe that I think the greatest of which was probably in his own mind, not to minimize the actual consequences, but even more than the as severe as they were, in his own mind, I think it was even a greater severity, feeling that feeling of disqualification and being branded, and not just as an ex-con, but just some of the things that went with it. And more than anything, Don wanted a wife. I can remember just the early times after being released from the state pen and just wanting a wife so badly, but feeling so unmarriable. Is that a word? Probably not. But you get what I'm saying. He was desperate, just really wanted a wife. And so we would pray about that. And I would encourage him. Now, Don, you don't disqualify yourself. You are marriage material. And God has someone for you. Don't settle. Don't just take the first, in other words, I could just see sometimes that desperation to just, and wait for the one that God has for you. And at the same time as I'm saying the words that I'm convinced of, yet because I'm not privy to know God's plans and how he'd work, concerned and somewhat anxious for Don, and yet believing at the same time that God is an incredible God. And so the biggest thing was always constantly, wait, Don, wait, be patient. Well, I'm here to tell you that at the age of 33, Don and his bride were happily married yesterday. And I'll tell you, as thrilled as I was to be a part of my oldest son and my daughter when they were married, I could not have been more thrilled to be a part of a wedding where just a real celebration of a testimony of God's grace. Often I'll say that we're here to witness the marriage of Melissa to Don. We're here to witness a miracle of God's grace and leading. Do you remember something like that, Catherine and Kyle? Remember, you just a year ago you were married, right? Remember that? Good girl. Yeah. But it really, it's each one is certainly a miracle of God's grace and leading, but there just seemed to be, with an asterisk, with Don, and this truly was a marriage, a match made in heaven, as the saying goes. And to witness that, witness God's redemption in Don's life, not just saving him, but redeeming him from the circumstances and making him marriage material. This woman adores him. And she is adorable herself. And so I wanted to share that with you this morning to declare the goodness of God, the power, his redemptive power to restore and change lives, and also to introduce this morning's text. Lord, as we look to your word, may we rejoice, may we hope, and may we be transformed. In Jesus' name. We don't have the there was something lost in the translation here, so you'll have to pull out the hard copy this morning. I love to hear the pages of the scripture anyhow. Open your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 18. Jeremiah 18. And if you need a Bible, there are some in the back of your pews. And if you're not in the back of a pew, you can. I've got one that is available here too. So Jeremiah 18, we're going to look at the first six verses. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down, Jeremiah's writing, I went down to the potter's house, and I saw the potter, I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as it seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter does, declares the Lord. Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. So a couple of questions. Who is the potter? God. God is the potter. And the clay? Us. And of course, yes. and we know of God's incredible. In fact, I'm not sure. I think we have a taste, as much of the creation as we're aware of in part. We have just a taste of the. Yeah, we got motorcycles and skateboards and. So you got to be really good to preach through all of that. God help me. But God, as we know, what little we know about God's creative ability is that he is a creative genius, to say the least. I mean, we don't know the half, do we? I mean, we the more we grasp, the more we study, and we just are amazed and impressed, just in awe. We do. We stand in awe. God, you're incredible. And so I heard someone say, "Yay." I mean, God is the potter. We're the clay. We have no creative ability anyhow. Now, we like to get our hands in the mix. We need, little help, and God needs some help, you know. So we think. Hey, let's talk about marred. You know, this is a familiar scripture to most of us. And I think of the mar, and when I think of mar, I think of like a scuff or a scratch. I just for the fun of it, I looked up the word in the Hebrew. I even shakath. Shakath. In fact, it is. It's the emphasis is on the second syllable, shakath. 147 occurrences. And it translates, of those 147 times, 96 times as destroyed or destroy, 22 times as corrupt, and even one time as battered. And here's what the definitions: to destroy, to corrupt, to go to ruin, decay, to be marred, be spoiled, be corrupted. Be corrupt, did I say that? Be injured, be ruined, be rotted, to spoil, to ruin, to pervert, to corrupt, to deal corruptly, parenthesis, morally, to spoil, ruin, destroy, to pervert, I mean, here's the point. Marred is not just a scuff or a scratch. It's, in essence, perhaps just short of, if not, all but destroyed, garbage, waste. the very least, what the word I wrote, severely damaged. And so going back, the clay. And it's not just, you know, who's God talking about here? Rick? Tim? Probably not. Kyle? Ah, Kent. Yeah, he's talking about Kent. Poor Kent. Let's pray for Kent. Who's God talking about? We are, here's the word of the Lord. We are all marred. And that's a kind word, isn't it? I mean, that's the benefit of the doubt kind of a word, at least in our English understanding. Toned down. How are we all marred? Well, the biggie is that we were born that way because we were born into sin. We all fall short of the glory of God. We are marred just by sin, and that would be enough. Further, you know, we're marred. My example of Don. Don was marred. Failure, I'll call it, or disobedience. So we are marred not just once, dare I say routinely or often. Another way that we're marred, tragedy mars us. And again, none of us are immune from any of these things. I mean, we're marred in many, many ways. I'm just mentioning a couple. What's that? Just a little change there, wasn't it? The old is past, the new has come. You know, we are a new creation. That's exactly right. And that's really what this is a picture in the Old Testament of what in the hands of the potter that God does. He takes what was not just maybe minorly damaged, but wasted, a waste. And God is able to take that and make something beautiful out of that for his purposes. Now, the thing is, though, is that while that is a once and done deal, there are still, because we're living, we're still these new creations living in the world that still get scuffed and scratched and scraped, and things affect us and touch our lives. And so the thing that I want us to focus on a bit this morning is that even in the midst, even as a new creation, continuing to allow ourselves to be on the potter's wheel, to remain soft and workable material in God's hands so that he will continue to shape us and mold us and use us and fulfill his purposes through our lives. And the one other thing that maybe goes with even without saying that in terms of answering the question how we're all marred, not just failure or disobedience or tragedy, but just circumstance in general, just things. All of a sudden, sometimes we don't even realize. I mean, I looked down. I was looking at my shirt when I got here. I saw a little mar, just a little spot on the my sleeve. And I went in and thought, gosh, I don't want anybody to see a spot on my sleeve. You know, I probably should have taken a marker, but I didn't. That'd have been real creative and a little bit extreme, but you know, things sometimes just happen that we're not even aware of. I think sometimes we're marred in even internally at times that I didn't even know I had Sergeant Sitzma went in and said, you know, I really feel like my sister-in-law, who is a nurse, said I need to get a stress test. Long story, but that was the short of it. And the doctor even rolled his eyes like, why waste your time and your money? Well, she made me swear on a stack of Bibles, is what he said. And so he took the stress test. It wasn't just later that day he got a call from the doctor's office that says, get yourself into the hospital. You've had a heart attack. And they, before he checked out, he had, I think, a triple bypass. And he was, he believes he's living on borrowed time. We had a little talk about that. And remember to pray for Ray, those of you that know him. Where was I? And unaware sometimes of being marred. So the potter, listen to this, even though we're marred, the potter will form us into another pot. We're going to talk about that, what that means. It's not that, because another pot, realize he's talking about he's changing us, he's shaping us. He is, I like this word, transforming us. We are being transformed, lest we be conformed to this world. It's one or the other. It's one or the other. So he will form us into another pot, shaping us as it seems best to us. He consults with us a lot about that, right? Actually, we should be saying yay about that. Thank goodness is the word. Because God knows a little bit more than we do. We know nothing. We see, at best, in part. So God has plan and purpose for our lives, but how long does it take for God? You know, how long does He sit at the wheel, shaping and molding? Yes to both. Yes to both. He takes His time. And He takes more time. So it requires great patience on our part. I want to show you, one of my last lines. The beauty of God is His ability. Is this not true? One of the most beautiful things of God is His ability to transform failure, absolute disobedience. I was telling Bill this morning, my reading took me through David and Bathsheba this morning. Now talk about a mar. And yet God's ability, there's the beauty. I'm still trying to finish my statement here. The beauty of God is His ability to take failure and absolute disobedient, perverse sin and tragedy and circumstance, all those things, and to redeem it, to turn it into something not just usable, like, well, we can make something out of this. We can recycle it, you know. God doesn't recycle, He redeems. That is, I will never fail to be amazed at God's redemptive work. And not just in certain people's lives. Every single one of us, God works a new creation, redeems us. I want to show you, we'll probably use this as the conclusion. I want to show you about 8 or 9 minutes of a clip. Maybe some of you have seen this clip I'll just let you with the video. Yeah, this is Nick. We'll watch the whole thing. Do you understand Chinese or?
My name is Nick Vujicic, and I'm from Australia. And this morning, I want to share with you my testimony as to how God has given me grace, strength, and comfort through my disability, and how you can have victory, peace, and joy in your life, even if circumstances are still present in your life that don't make sense or cause your world to turn upside down.
And all God's people said, wow. Wow.
Praise God.
Wow. When we say wow here, it means walking on water. What a life. What a life. Yeah, it's great. You are great. In case people aren't aware or didn't catch the message, you were born this way, right?
Correct, yes.
How did it happen? How come you were born without limbs?
Well, I'm 24, and there's actually no medical reason why this had happened. My mom was a nurse, and she knew exactly what to do and what not to do in her first pregnancy. So I'm their firstborn son, and it was such a great tragedy, and we had many questions. They had many questions as parents, I had many questions as a child, but there were no answers. The world cannot tell us why I was born this way, but I now see the glory of God in it, and I just give God all glory and thanks and praise, because I am wonderfully and fearfully made. So He has a plan and a hope and future for everybody. And,
wow. Well, how have your parents handled this? I think, of course, when you were born this way, you were not aware of it.
That's right.
But your parents were dramatically aware of it. How did they handle it?
It was, I can't explain in words. They can't even explain in words to me how it felt. They went through many stages of denial and depression, but it was about 4 months of them. They straight away took me home after I was born, raised me up just like any other child, but God's peace guarded their heart after 4 months, and they were able to then trust in God, and it was just such a great shock, because there's no trace of any birth defects in either families. I have a brother and a sister born after me, and they have no birth defects, but it's just amazing to see the miracle of God's grace in my parents' life as they raised me up, as they trusted in God in such a stressful and anxious time of their life.
Now, you have no arms, no legs, but you have a part of a foot.
I have a little chicken drumstick, you see. This is amazing. It's we call this a chicken drumstick because, first of all, it looks like one, and second of all, sometimes my dog thinks it's one. And he comes up every now and then to start biting on it, and I have to kick him in the head a little bit, but it's amazing. This little thing, I have the ability to type 43 words a minute on a normal computer. By the grace of God, I've accomplished a double degree in accounting and financial planning. I can... Praise God. I've learned how to write, and I can walk around, and I have this wheelchair, and this seat actually goes up and down, so I can be quite independent at home, as you've seen on the video. So
wonderful.
Yeah.
Are you self-employed?
You know what? It's amazing how God has been using me in the last 5 years of my life. I've spoken across 12 nations as a preacher and evangelist. And I've gone across Africa and Southeast Asia. We just came back from India, and we had crowds of 100,000 people. And it's just to see tens of thousands to commit their lives to Jesus Christ is amazing. My purpose in life is to go out to the world and say, if I can trust in God with my circumstances, then you can trust in God with your circumstances. We know that God's grace is sufficient, and if He does...
And I can't pronounce his... But I'll even send you the link if you like. It is... I come across that. Karen actually... Someone sent that to her, and I just thought, you know, that is incredible. And it probably convicts every single one of us that how quick we are to look at our circumstances and our defects, our deformities, our marring, and disqualify or whine. Compare. In fact, that's where I wanted to take it through, because he talks about this, he doesn't say it this way, but the sin of comparison, of how we compare ourselves with each other, and what a tragic thing that is, and how it's so diffuses what God wants to do in the church and in our lives. So I want to close this morning. I want to preach a long time. I feel like this word preaches itself, and our part is to respond and to allow God to soften our hearts. You know what happens is the next, maybe I should preach next week on the next chapter. What happens in the next chapter? Anybody? In Jeremiah 18, now 19, think of the pot, and one smashed as another picture. And you can figure that one out. A pot that isn't allowing itself to be moldable and shaped and transformed. And so we really get to choose. Let's see, shall we stay soft and moldable and allow God to transform us? Or do you want to be smashed and not usable? Here are just a few verses. Because this shaping us as seems best to Him, that's a challenge. But who are you, O man, to talk back to God? This is Romans chapter 9, NIV. Shall what is formed say to Him who formed it, why did you make me like this? Does not the potter have the right to make out of the same lump of clay some pottery for noble purposes and some for common use? There's another sermon right there. You tell me what the difference between noble and common. Now, we think we might know the answer to that. But remember, we're looking at God's definition. Noble, common. For we are, reading out of Ephesians chapter 2, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Amen? Being confident, I'm jumping in the middle of the sixth verse, chapter 1 of Philippians, being confident of this, that He who began a good work in us will be faithful to what? And then another, what's that? That's right. Until the day of Jesus Christ. That's right. That completes that verse. It goes on and on and on. If we stay moldable, if we stay in God's hands. Yet, O Lord, You are our Father. We are the clay. This is, again, out of Isaiah 64. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are the work of Your hand. Yes? 1 Corinthians 2. No eye has seen, nor ear has heard, no mind has conceived. This is one of those verses that's so familiar, but extremely true. Redundant statement. They're all... The word is absolute truth, yes? No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. And then last verse out of 2 Corinthians 4, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Close with this. The word, another vessel. I thought, boy, that's just another vessel, a new creation, another vessel. Let's look up the meaning. And it's as you would expect, pot. I think the NIV says another pot, but vessel is the Hebrew. It's translated vessel of the 166 times, I think it is. It's translated almost always vessel. But 21 times that same Hebrew word is translated as, get this, jewel. I loved it. I just thought, That was worth looking up what I thought would be just an expected definition. And I just thought that's just like God to use the same word, but to convey in his hands, not just a pot, not just a vessel. That's not quite as bad, but not just a pot, but a jewel. A jewel. In his hands, we transform from just something common. I mean, there's how that verse starts preaching. From the common to the noble, to the valuable. So let me pray, if I can, for you, with you, and pray that God would soften our hearts. Oh God. When I say soften our hearts, oh God, I'm saying every one of our hearts. Lord, I'm aware of hard places in my own heart constantly. So, Lord, I pray that by your Spirit, you would convict us. You would pierce us, Lord, but mostly that you would soften us. Lord, as we allow you to work by your Spirit in our hearts, Lord, we want, forgive us for saying, for criticizing your workmanship, your creation. Forgive us for being impatient. Forgive us for disqualifying ourselves. For not even making ourselves eligible to be called into the game. Lord, we rejoice when we hear of testimonies of Don and Nick. Lord, I rejoiced recently hearing the testimony of one of our Foursquare pastors who talked about you working in the midst of his wife, this Foursquare pastor's wife, committing suicide. How in the world you work beauty out of such tragic, tragic circumstances, marring beyond comprehension. Yet over and over you do. So Lord, I'm praying this morning that all of us stand before you as marred to the full extent and yet redeemed, but I don't believe fully transformed. And so God, continue. Lord, we just make ourselves candidates to allow you can continue the transforming process in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. Thank you for the redemptive power of the cross. You know, before I say amen, I'm just feeling nudged that God would just speak, certainly to all of us, but perhaps to some specific few, that God would say, I have made you a jewel. You have discounted, you have disqualified, but I have made you a jewel. I have a plan and a purpose for you that no mind, no ear, no eye, but I have a plan and a purpose for you, says the Lord. Not just to make you usable, but to accomplish incredible things to my glory. Thank you, Lord. Let's stand together, shall we? What are we singing?
is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. You never change. You never fail, oh God. True are your promises. True are your promises. You never change. You never fail, oh God. So we raise up holy hands to praise the Holy One, who was and is and is to come. So we raise up holy hands to praise the Holy One, who was